morning. Today is Friday, December the 4th, 336th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks.
Good morning.
Is this like almost an anniversary for you?
I've been here about a year and 7 months. I don't know. That's not exactly.
No. What did you come in April?
May 1st.
Or May, baby. Okay. Yeah. Got to remember. That's all. Nothing magic about it. I just kind of had that flash because, you know, a lot of people turn over this time of the year.
I'm not planning on turning over this time of year.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of department heads turn over this time of the year. Okay. He's okay. Our quote this morning comes from Edward de Bono. Quote, "If you wait for opportunities to occur, you'll be just one of the crowd."
I could agree with that. Sometimes you have to make things happen.
Yeah. So what kind of read do you have on the DHHS appointee, hiree, reneging? I've heard a lot of things through the grapevine, but what have you heard?
You know, I certainly, of course, wasn't any part of that process or never met the person. But it's pretty hard for me to speculate. But I think sometimes, though, what happens, what I've seen is you know, you get into a process, you know, you do some background work and you think, well, yeah, this might look like a good fit. And sometimes you find out during the interview process that, no, it isn't. But then I think something, too, is when you're offered the job, there's a kind of a heady excitement that sometimes maybe makes part of your brain shut down as to, is this really a good fit? And then you get home and you start thinking, gee, I kind of like my house and my spouse likes their job and I like the people I work with. Why am I doing this? So,
well, when you got your hire, phone call, letter, handshake, thingy from Eureka, I would like to think you and Mary have been out here a couple of times. You kind of checked out the lay of the land. You knew what you were getting into. So, you know, after making the final cut,
yeah,
that if it was tendered, it wasn't, well, let me think about it. Okay, that's going to fill the hiring mm-hmm. entity with all kinds of warm fuzzy.
Right.
You know, you got this far and you haven't thought about it yet. Isn't that the normal process for somebody, particularly with the position and the compensation levels where they are? This wasn't an entry-level position.
Right. You should. It's kind of a level position you don't go in with just on kind of a fluke that, oh, I think I'll throw my name in and see what happens. I know what I did. You know, I came out early before the interview process and had a chance to meet with a number of department directors and Chamber of Commerce, people like that, so that by the time I felt like by the time I went into the interview process, I had, you know, some understanding of what I might be getting into if I was selected.
Missed that one, huh?
No, I actually, I think pretty close. I wouldn't say there is what I would consider game-changing surprise type of a thing. One part you brought up, spouse, my wife had not been out here prior to the interview. And, you know, some cities do a good job of bringing, you know, spouses out during the process. And I think that's an important thing to do.
Particularly if you're not of the region.
Particularly if you're not of the region. That's right.
Yeah. Gee, look at those big, tall things. What are they? KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Greg Sparks.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Greg, some of the concepts of hiring department heads, some go outside the organization, use a headhunter. Some use other means to attract others? You know, and I don't know. Do you guys have to go EEO? Equal Employment Opportunity, the outreach?
Well, you don't have to do an outreach. Certainly we have personnel policies that incorporate equal employment opportunity.
But legal requirements?
No, not necessarily.
That's interesting. We do.
Okay.
As long as you have more than 5 employees, mm-hmm. it's mandated by the feds what we have to do. But you guys don't have to. Interesting.
Well, there's some yes and no that. But I think the point I was wanting to maybe get to is whether you go internal or external, certainly as an organization, you want to be trying to bring people along within the organization that can, you know, take over those department head positions at retirement. You know, certainly police department, you know, you want to provide those opportunities for advancement. Otherwise, you get people that they stagnate in positions. If you're just always stuck at a police officer position because there's no movement at sergeants or, you know, captain level. So that's really important. But then there's also times within a department, within an organization, that it makes sense to go outside. Either you haven't been able to bring somebody along or that organization just needs some significant change and new blood brought in, fresh ideas.
How do you avoid the Peter principle?
You know, you try to make sure you provide people with opportunity for training, to demonstrate leadership, and that you don't just promote people because, well, gee, they've been in the department for 20 years, it's their turn. I have seen that happen before. Many years ago, I inherited a fire chief who eventually the department voted no confidence in, and kind of the command staff said, well, you know, we had a long tradition in this department of just who'd ever been here the longest of moving up the ranks, and we kind of thought this guy would be all right because he would let us do our job, but instead he was the least competent of the fire command staff, and then he decided since he was the chief, he had to start taking control of everything. So, you know, you never really want to be in that where it's just, boy, you've been here a long time, and therefore it's your turn. So I haven't seen that in a long time, that certainly what I'm looking for when I'm promoting people is that they've, you know, they've demonstrated a level of competence, a level of leadership, and they've, you know, and quite frankly, they become obvious choices at times.
Is there a lot of times that obvious separation? Because when we hear, and I do not recall when Andy Mills was hired, but I do remember when you were offered that there was, we got 3 guys that are really good. And we made the choice.
Mm-hmm.
Not, there are 2 guys that kind of filled it, and one guy just really kicked the crap out of everybody else, and he's our, boy, we hope he accepts, because if we don't get somebody that we really want. You don't hear that stuff. Now, I don't know, that could be sugarcoating for the general public, just in case the Sparks family had a come to Jesus meeting and you decided not to come.
You know, I had a colleague of mine describe this a number of years back. He said, you know, particularly when a council's making that choice, you know, you want your first choice. And I know I want my first choice when I'm looking to hire somebody. And just by designating somebody your second choice, they've become damaged goods.
Yeah, there's a stigma attached.
Yeah, it's like, you know, sometimes you get that really strong number and you go, man, can't go wrong either way. Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf, you know, can't go wrong.
Yeah, and if it's positioned that way, interesting, you used a charger, knowing your chief's desire to actually have the Chargers still be recognized as an NFL team.
Uh-huh.
I would think that's how you would position it. Boy, we got 3, and we're going to make an offer, but, you know, we're going to be happy if we get any of the 3.
Yeah.
And that's how you wrap it.
But then there's other – I hired a fire chief, again, a number of years ago, different community, but –
This is not boding well for next year.
I had
your fire chief stories.
I don't hire the fire chief here.
Okay, okay.
We have a fire the JPA.
District, yeah.
But man, if I couldn't have got my top choice, I would have had to have re-advertised because the number 2 and number 3 were just, I mean, they were like light years behind. And
now, was that true for a smaller town, larger town, compensation base?
I think that's true in a lot of areas where, you know, sometimes you see a lot of movement in department head positions, but I don't know, it seems to me lately, say if it had been opened up to the outside on Humboldt Bay Fire, you know, you may only find there's, you know, a couple really well-qualified people out there looking to change departments. I know with some of the recent ones we've done in the city in the last year and a half, we're not getting 50 applicants, for each of these positions. It's a little slimmer. And again, we've talked about this before, that with a remote location, wages have been held down. It does make it difficult to recruit.
Attitude or aptitude?
You tell me what I'm looking for?
Yeah.
I'm looking for aptitude. I'm not quite sure how you mean.
I got him. He just doesn't realize how deep the hook is set.
Yeah, that's probably right.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Before the break, sir, I'd asked the question, and you want a opportunity for a mulligan. So here we go. When you hire a department head, do you prefer attitude or aptitude?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I was taking the aptitude a little probably different than what you were, but I'm looking for that person who can advance the department and not just, you know, maintain the ship, but who brings that, you know, strong work ethic to the job, some innovative, creative thinking, ability to work with people. I mean, all those it isn't just about who's had the most experience, who's worked in government the longest. It's how's that experience really relate to this job, and do you bring that kind of attitude that I really want to help change this organization culture, if it indeed
if that's what
changing.
You're looking for.
Yeah, if and how to advance that forward. You know, one of the things that just came out recently, and we talked about it a couple council meetings ago, and I talked about it a little bit in my column in the newsletter, was the Business Ready study. And I made the point in my column that there are some brutal comments in there.
You didn't even get to me.
and believe me, we knew that going in, that we've had a lot of negativity from whether it's development community, builders, regular people coming in who want to get a permit to do an addition, of over the years of customer service issues, confusing codes, process that seems to take a long time. And even though we think we've been doing some things to make some positive changes in the last year, it's like if you did your project 3 years ago, that's burned into your mind as to how bad that was.
And you're not working in Eureka. You're working somewhere else because it was so bad. Why bother?
Or
go somewhere else.
Or you're that resident trying to do a small project in 3 or 4 years ago. And so we trying to think, there are 60 some recommendations in that study that we really need to implement in terms of first making some improvements in our codes, which is really kind of the backbone piece, and process, customer service training, and just making sure that we're communicating well between engineering, building inspection, the planners, so that is as seamless of a process as possible.
So you're talking about construction, not the business climate that exists for existing businesses.
Right. I'm really getting more at those who have to come, as we say, the third floor to get that permit, whether it's as simple as, you know, roofing your house.
Are the chains off the wall now?
The chains?
Yeah. The stretch rack, is that gone also?
You know, if you came up there, yeah. We might put you on it.
Yeah, we might reinstitute a couple of things, yeah.
But no, I think we're certainly trying to make those changes and emphasize to our employees how, you know, you work for the customer that's coming in, and it's not about
how tough is that for folks who may have only been in the government sector to understand the concerns. Time is money. Okay, everybody kind of is familiar with the phrase.
Yes.
But when you're having to make those extra 5 payments to the bank with no income coming in because you're waiting for somebody to look at it on their desk, I wonder how many really understand.
Right. Not every
understand what that really means to them.
Yeah, I think they wouldn't necessarily understand that, and it's the difference between a project being successful and a project going under.
Or never starting.
Yeah, not getting started because the bank financing, you know, just drives you under if you lose that kind of time. So that's an important message to get across.
Is automation an option for a lot of?
You know, there are a number of things we've automated. There's still things though that take that, quite frankly, the personal contact.
Well, an on-site inspection is still going to be an on-site inspection. I mean, you can't automate that.
Right.
Is one example.
But the more we can, if you're applying for simple permits, the more you can automate that to where it's, you don't have to leave your home and come to City Hall or leave your business to fill out the app. You know, where the more we can automate that would be helpful as well.
Or do the simple processing part of the process.
You know,
so it gets up to the point where, okay, does the check need address? You know, mm-hmm. Is there a punch list? Is there not a punch list? We're thinking, you know. And consistent interpretation.
That's always a big thing. You know, if you've got, say, in a department where you have several, say, build inspectors or plant, one planner might view it this way, a build inspector.
Well, make it big. Let's say we're big. You got 10.
Yeah.
So it's not a local thing. You got 10 of them. Well, if you have 10 different interpretations, how's a guy supposed to know if he's progressing or regressing as he's doing the work?
That's where you really want, as much as one person assigned to a project, to where you aren't dealing with 3 different planners and 3 different building inspectors. I mean, there's going to be you have to bring people in with, you know, the electrical inspector, which has a different expertise than somebody else. But we want that person who can really help take a project through from start to finish.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:41. We'll be back with more.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the shopping show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next shopping show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks, the city manager of Eureka. Talk Shop presented by Redeck and CDH Painting. Greg, if anybody travels Myrtle, they're seeing the cyclone fence that the Office of Education, the County Office of Ed, is having to put up because of the homeless camps and being taken over, literally being taken over in that area of the property. They can't do anything other than to cut off access. Can't trim it. Can't clean it up. They have to do this because the Coastal Commission and some other issues. Is that going to be the mode that we're going to have to resort to in dealing with some of these illegal encampments throughout the city of Eureka?
Yes. I mean, I think that's probably realistic. You know, we've started some dialogue with Coastal Commission staff about about vegetation management, but I suspect that's
is it called trimming to 6 feet?
Yeah, things regular like
parlance.
That.
Yeah,
certainly there's apparently some in the Coastal Act, which certainly they interpret that prohibits that, but it seems like we ought to be able to do a little more than what has previously been allowed, because trying to deal with the encampment seems to be the bigger environmental issue than an awful lot of other things. And
as you hear the newscast during the days and the weeks, medical aid has got to be a huge cost also. If you're tapping how long it takes the cops or how many times, and the same with the fire, even though it's not an incremental cost because they're on, pay anyway. But if you put a dollar sign on those, I would think that there's a huge amount in addition to the environmental costs. Is anybody putting a dollar sign to that?
Chief Mills and I met with the hospital administration probably about a month ago now to have some of that discussion, trying to better understand what's the impact on the emergency room from the frequent flyers, in a sense. And they didn't necessarily have a handle on it right then, but that was something they were going to look into, because one of the things you've seen in some different studies from other communities is if you can deal with a transient population that's using a lot of medical services, if you can get people into housing, you start seeing a reduction in that use of services. So we wanted to have that initial conversation with St. Joseph as to, would you be interested in helping to fund something if it could be demonstrated that if you got those 10 people into housing, that could reduce your cost by so much. So we've started that conversation. I think that's something we'll be picking back up with them.
Now, I know Denver had a project a number of years ago where they were giving free apartment space to homeless, and with the thoughts of pride of ownership, some of the thoughts you just expressed, and all they got was a bunch of things that were beaten up and torn up and broken. It didn't translate because a large enough segment didn't want housing. You give it to me, I'm going to know and then rebel against it. Are you looking at something along that model of providing free shelter?
Well, certainly from the city, we have no money for free shelter. So we're looking at whether there are state, federal programs, working with county DHHS on programs to get people into housing. We had a person here in Eureka who 185 calls for service over a short period of time. They got him into Arcata House, 0 calls for service the last 2 months. Those are the kind of...
In Eureka?
Or he was from Eureka, Arcata also. And they got him into Arcata.
But no service for anybody.
Right. Reduce the calls for service.
Thanks for coming by.
Okay, thank you.
Join us Monday morning for more Talk Shop. So then go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love tomorrow morning.